Thank you very much, Laura and Janelda, for leading us in our worship today. Doing a great job, and Janelda and Ken are new among us, and we're so glad that they're entering in and helping out. And we will just do this is the adjustments of birth pains and growth. As our church grows or as new people come, we have to adjust to one another, and we're doing that. Laura plays one way for the last 40 years plus, and Janelda, we will get there, and we have fun laughing at one another in the meantime. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. So we've been talking, we started this book, and as I said, I did this way back in 1992, and so I come now to the book of Ephesians with hopefully a set of fresh eyes as to what happens here. You have in your bulletin that insert, and you can follow me along. I'll try to make sure I tell you the word to put in there. But if you would like previous inserts, they're on the back pew that will catch you up to this study, and those inserts are already filled in so that you know what's going on there. So I guess the first thing I want to say is that sometimes when we come to Scripture, like we talked about last week, with all those blessings over the last 2 weeks, it can almost be overwhelming. And so there is a sense in which I want to tell you this morning that the first thing I want you to do is relax your mind. And I didn't say go to sleep. What I'm saying is to take a stance in your mind where there is a mental composure as we approach these texts. It is not my intent to overwhelm, but obviously from verse 3 through verse 14, Paul is doing two or three things. One of the things he's doing is educating us. That means that as Christians, we, not like Eastern religions, are told to empty our minds and try to discover the real you and you are God, but rather we are told to fill our minds with truth. And as we appreciate that truth, it makes its way to our emotions or our heart. And we go, wow, look what God has done. And it helps us to then have the motivation to change our lives to become more like Jesus. And so working on our minds is top priority, and Paul's educating us. And we mentioned a number of things in this text. The fact that we have a spiritual relationship with God in verse 3, that has to do with being blessed by God in spiritual things, in heavenly realms. Verse 4, we talked about being chosen to be holy and to be blameless. Verse 5, predestined for adoption. Now, I hope that you don't get caught up with this word predestined. It comes from a doctrine of predestination, which means that God chose us even before the world began to be a part of his family, that our destiny might be certain, which is heaven. There is a great balance in this word, and we're not going to go there. But in other words, predestined has to do with destiny. Doing it in a prearranged fashion means that God knew beforehand, and that's a big deal. God knows everything, and he knew who would receive Christ and those who would not. All I know is that there is a balance that God did elect, God did predestine those, even before we trusted Christ, to be participants with him in heavenly things. But we know the balance here. If you go over to like verse 13, and you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you were marked with the Holy Spirit. So the balance of this teaching in Scripture is, though God knew all this and predestined us to be part of his family, there needed to be an active sharing of the word of truth with us. We heard the gospel, we realized that we needed to receive Christ, and we had to believe in him in order to become a child of God. We can get into a whole lot of deep theology here, and that is not my intent. All we can say maybe is this, that God has been thinking of us since eternity past, and he's wanted us to be a part of his family. And in his great wisdom, he predestined us to be adopted as children. We are chosen people. Just like the Jews were, in Christ, we become children of Abraham through faith. And so that's one of the great blessings, and I'm not going to get sidetracked. But in verse 6, we talked about His glorious grace that gives us forgiveness of sin and redemption, which means being bought out of the slave market of sin. I became a member of God's family in verses 9 and 10. The Jews didn't even know about that mystery. I am here for a holy purpose, which means to live for His glory. Take a breath. Take a breath. Some of us have been studying this stuff for 40 years or more. And in the first read through, it's just overwhelming. And you think, my goodness, how can I ever comprehend all that? And I contend that some of the reason that we live in a Christian illiterate in terms of Bible knowledge is because sometimes it's so big to us we don't even try. And because of that, we do not grow up in Christ. Growing up in Christ, or growing spiritually, is God's intent through this book for us. But if we sense that we're just overwhelmed right from the get-go with verses 3 through 14 and all types of Christian doctrine, then we may quit even before we begin. And that's not God's intent. So I'm saying very practically, you know, have a mental composure. Okay, I don't understand all this now, but as time goes on, and I read this many times over the next while that God gives me on planet Earth, all of a sudden you will discover that a little light comes on. And oh, I see that now. And isn't that interesting? And wow, look at the blessings I have in Christ. It's a lifelong journey of discovering how great God has been to us. We cannot comprehend it all in a moment. So take a mental breath. Take a spiritual breath and relax. But I'm telling you that God has shared these things because He wants us in our minds to know that we have been blessed. And God has done this in order to benefit us eternally. Not only that, but Paul, remember, is talking to us from a Roman prison. Not only do we see his educating us, we see his example. Here he sits in a Roman prison, and he's writing to us about the great things that God has done. Just like in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas sat in the prison, they were beaten for Jesus, because of him, and they were placed there, and as they were singing, the prison shook. And someone came to know the Lord because of that. Blessed is the person who understands that being blessed by God happens in the mind, makes its way to the heart, and it shields us and helps us in the very difficult circumstances of life, because my life does not consist of the amount of things that I have or what happens to me. My life consists of the fact that I belong to the living God, and I am part of His family. I have been eternally blessed. And even if they slay me, I will praise Him. That's what Job said. So Paul's example is great. And we've all seen people in suffering who've praised God and just rejoice. That's transformation. And so Paul has been encouraging us also to have the same spirit. And so when we come to our sheet here, the theme of Paul's letter is to grow up spiritually. And in his prayer, we see that there is a consistency with other verses in Scripture. And I'm not going to take the time to read these, but if you read Hebrews chapter 5, growing up spiritually is something that is God's will for our lives. And if we're not growing spiritually, that is not a good sign. It may be a sign that we don't even know Jesus to start with. Because if there is new life, there ought to be an appetite, a thirst, like a brand new baby, in order to take in nourishment to grow. And Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, that we need to be growing, and God ought not to have to go back to the very basic teachings of Scripture and go over that with us again, because the first time we were not listening. He needs us to grow by training ourselves in righteousness by getting to know the Scripture. And of course, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So having taught about the blessings that the believer has in Christ, Paul is now saying in our reading that Bill read to us this morning, I want you to understand, I'm praying for you. And that prayer is based upon two things. One, due to their faith in the Lord Jesus, first blank. These people had heard the gospel and they had come to Christ. They were now part of God's family. Paul was rejoicing and he was full of thanksgiving because they had believed what God had said. And they have been placed now in the family of God, and praise God, they have been chosen children, adopted, accepted. Secondly, we have here that Paul is praying because of their love for other believers. And he mentions this, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. But before that, he says, and your love for all the saints. Now, I hope that we have been clear on this as at other times. A saint isn't someone who lives such a special life on earth for God that God gave them a special privilege in heavenly realms. A saint, biblically speaking, is every person who has received Jesus as their Savior. And saint means that a person has been set apart by God for a holy purpose. And so when we receive Jesus, our lives are set apart by God for His purposes. I hope that if we are saints, we are saintly. This is very important, that consistency. So Paul is so taken here with their faith in Christ and the fact that they are growing, their lives have already been transformed because they're loving one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers. And that act of loving other Christians is so important. And I've told you before that I went through a time in my teenage years because I had acted up a little bit even as a Christian. I wondered if I was really saved. And as I got down before God and prayed about this, God, do I really know you? I mean, I'm not a perfect person. And God brought to my mind this verse. We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And I thought, do I love other Christians? I knew I loved them dearly. And immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, see, my spirit lives in you. And it's connecting with my spirit who lives in you. And you do know me. It's a settled issue. And from that point on, I have never doubted that I was a Christian, because this love is evidence of that. So first of all, when he comes to prayer here in verse 16, he prays, and it is a prayer of thanksgiving. He sees evidence of his fruitful ministry because of their transformed lives. And Paul reveals the need, by his example, for being constant and thankful in prayer. So among God's people, when we hear that others have come to know Christ, then one of the things that that should do in our hearts is that we respond in thanks to God, and it's consistent thanks. It's time and time again. It's like, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, Philippians 1:6, as Paul was thankful for the church at Philippi. But it's that constant prayer, thanking God. Thanksgiving is to be a part of the character of our prayer life. And it's like the joyful part. And no matter what's going on and how serious our prayers become, they need to be balanced by this issue that I rejoice in the Lord and I am filled with His joy and I am so thankful at what God has done for me, and how thankful we are when we see progress in someone who's placed their faith in Jesus. And this is exactly what Paul is thankful for here. But then he goes on in verse 17 through 23, and he prays here for three things. The first is that they might know God better, and that's in verse 17, where he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. In order to know Him better, I need the Holy Spirit to work in my spirit, to give me wisdom as I read the Word of God, and to open my spiritual understanding so I really see how great God has been, and I respond in greater knowledge, but also greater appreciation for who God is. Let us put it this way. As Paul is talking to brand new believers here, he's saying, you know, just go back to the newborn baby thing. As a newborn baby craves that nourishment of milk so that they will grow, that craving is evidence of birth. It is evidence of life. And as we go to there, we have a hunger and a thirst. If we were to put it in some other Christian term, it would be that the writers of the New Testament speak of our first love for Christ. When we first came and, wow, look at what God has done for me, verses 3 through 14. And when we have that love, it's sort of like this. You know, I dated this person and I know them enough to trust them. And I meet them at the altar and I commit my life to them. Now we're married. But now, in other words, we're in marriage. We're in a relationship like we're in Christ when we receive Him. If I am in Christ, now that I've investigated Him a bit and I become convinced that He's trustworthy and I've committed my life to Him, from this point on, not just the honeymoon stage of my first love, but until death do us part, I will grow in my knowledge of Him. That is the reason for the great commandment. Not only to go into the world and teach the gospel, but to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Paul's prayer for them is that they would know God better. And this isn't mere academics. This is a matter of having a discipline in my life, and you need one in yours, where regularly we make time to sit down with God, with our Bible, and maybe a notebook or a study notebook, and we ask God to give us understanding as I read His Word. And as I ask Him, I'm humbling myself to say, I need your help. Sometimes I miss things and I don't really get it. And so God's Holy Spirit is given to help us to understand. And so in order to know God better, in each of our lives, we need to have a disciplined time of sitting down and getting to know God better. It just doesn't come by accident. And you ladies in your study of Mary and Martha in your Thursday morning group talked about Christian busyness is no substitute for getting to know God better. Mary and Martha, the story of them, Jesus commended Mary for taking the time when He was in the house to sit at His feet and listen to Him and to love Him. It doesn't mean that Mary wasn't helping Martha before Jesus arrived, but when Jesus is in the house, when I take time for Him, I sit at His feet and I learn. I want to know God better. It is God's will that we make a personal time for Bible study and prayer. But it's just not the discipline, just not, okay, I checked that off, I'd spent 15 minutes there. No, no. God, I want to know You better, and I want to love You more. And this needs to be the cry of our heart. Paul is saying, you really need to get this. Is it the cry of our heart, the prayer, God, I want to know You better? Secondly, he prays that they might know the hope. So the transformation, I'm just going to catch up here with your notes. Under number B, verse number 1, with the help of the Holy Spirit, giving wisdom and revealing Jesus. Secondly, the cry of Paul's heart is that they would know the hope that they have. And we read this as well, that it is the hope that is set before them. And as you can see from your sheet, it comes through faith in Jesus, who gave us an eternal inheritance. Okay? And so that is the hope. Let me use the word assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hebrews chapter 6, it mentions the hope here, and we haven't got time to turn to it. But when that hope is mine, and I know because I have the Holy Spirit living in me that He is a deposit guaranteeing that I'm going to get to heaven, then that very hope in the midst of difficult times becomes like an anchor in my soul, and it gives me stability. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Or we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Do you know that hope that God has given to us of heaven? We win. That hope becomes like an anchor in my soul. It's almost like if God is so big as to give me a hope like that and a blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, heaven is mine, then all lesser things fail in comparison. God is big. And so this hope is something that God has given to us. Hebrews 10 speaks of the fact that in order for us to be constantly encouraged in this hope, we need to be with other believers. It isn't just about attending church. We attend church in order to learn about God, yes, but to encourage one another. And so the word here under Hebrews 10 is constantly reminded of our hope through the encouragement received at regular church gatherings. And of course, it changes our only whole perspective on life too. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Our hope in Christ means that living for Jesus is not a waste, but rather it is for eternity, and presently I am to appreciate that. It's just not my hope of heaven. It's that the hope of heaven, my assurance of heaven, changes my perspective on planet Earth. And that's why we put the big quote here, that our future is as bright as the promises of God. That's all I depend upon. God promised me that if I put my faith in Him, I would have heaven. That's my blessed hope, my blessed assurance. It changes my life. Lastly here, he prays, it is a cry to know God's power. And this is through the Holy Spirit, their noted power in their experience. In other words, day by day, the experience of His mighty strength when the day of evil comes. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, that we are to grow up in Christ so that when the day of evil comes, we may be able to stand and not give in. And we're to stand in His strength. Philippians 2:13, great verse. God, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then chapter 3, even here in Ephesians, strengthened by God's Spirit. And verses 20 to 23, it's sort of like this. He says, if you want to know what that power is like, let me show you. And he talks about Christ's death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven, His being appointed as King. He is over all things. How big is God? How able is God to help you and to give you power to live the Christian life? Just look at Jesus. Look at what God did. And if God is that big to help His Son to overcome death and to rise Him from the dead and to set Him up there in the heavens, can He not also help you right here on planet Earth with even lesser things than that? It's one thing that God gives us victory over death, but what about every other lesser challenge that we have on planet Earth? And the last little fill in the blank here, 1 Corinthians 15:57 speaks of our victory over death and the victory that we may have due to Jesus' ability over lesser challenges that we have on planet Earth. So this is to be the cry of our hearts as well. Thank you, God, that you brought me to Christ, that you're helping me to grow. Now, God, help me to know you better. Help me, indeed, to know your power. But help me also to be one who knows the hope that lives within that you have given me, and not to lose sight of that so I will be disheartened. And so as you take time at home, perhaps, maybe you even want to use this in your Bible study time and mull over it, meditate on it. May God help us to be encouraged. But it ought to be the cry of our heart, the cry of every believer, because now we're in the family of God, and what a privilege. We're going to stand together as we have our final chorus. It reflects for us. It's not the same as is in the bulletin. Rather, we're going to do another one, and we'll sing this together. So again, if someone can take the shoeboxes to Gregory Drive, I'd appreciate it. Speak to me. The logo papers, I'll put them out in the foyer by the refreshments. And also, if you want to sign up to help with the float in terms of volunteering to be there or help, we would deeply appreciate it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, sometimes it just seems like so much to take in. Often that's how we feel when we sit down with the Bible. It's so much bigger than us. But we thank you that your plan is that even as day by day we eat our food for our bodies and we grow, day by day, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit over and over, familiarity, appreciation, growth. Father, this is your plan for our lives. So we would pray that you'll make this the cry of our heart. Deliver us from just routine. Help us to be intentional. May the love of God so impress us that we will love you in return. We need the help of your Holy Spirit with this. In Jesus' name, amen.